Well, as I mentioned earlier, it's the first Sunday in Lent, and as we enter Lent, we begin a 40-day journey toward the cross and the empty tomb. We do not walk this path alone. We walk together, and we walk with the Lord Jesus. This week, we turn to the book of Matthew. Next week, to the Apostle John. We root ourselves in the Gospels, time that shapes us. And along the way, we ask ourselves, how is Jesus teaching us? What can we learn from Jesus? And how is he calling us to live for him? These ancient scriptures still speak to us with clarity. They confront the same struggles that we face daily. Good versus evil. Obedience versus sin. Wise choices versus destructive ones. So before we enter the text, we pause. We ask God to move us beyond mere understanding and into something deeper, spiritual transformation. So we call on the Holy Spirit to make our hearts humble, humble and ready, ready to be shaped, renewed, and formed by the living Word of God. Let us pray. Illuminate our understanding, O Spirit of God. Shine your light of wisdom upon the Holy Word as it is read today. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. And all God's people together say, Amen. Amen.
Our scripture today comes from Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. It can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1376. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, God will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Rose, for reading that. The sermon has three movements. Part one is about sin, Israel's 40 years of failure in the wilderness. Part two is about salvation, Jesus, 40 days of victory in the wilderness. Part three, service, our 40 days in God's word with Jesus. Lent becomes our training ground. It's a season to walk the journey with Jesus, listen to his voice, and grow in faithful living. May these 40 days enrich your soul and strengthen your faith. Now, at the very start of Jesus' ministry, he spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness. The number immediately echoes other 40s of Scripture. Not long ago, we were with Noah in the book of Genesis, rain falling for 40 days and nights while his family remained safe in the ark. In Exodus, Moses climbed up Mount Sinai and spent 40 days and nights in the presence of the Lord, receiving the Ten Commandments. And then there is Israel's long, painful stretch, 40 years wandering in the wilderness between their departure from Egypt and their arrival in the Promised Land. How did those 40 years in the desert go for them? Not well. They demanded that Aaron make a golden calf and bowed before it. They grumbled against Moses and they murmured against the Lord. God fed them with manna from heaven. Yet they longed for more and despised his provision. They became tired of the same old, same old. They wanted more variety, meat, fruit, vegetables. Their stomachs were full, but their hearts were empty. They even fantasized about going back to Egypt. They thought of those as the good old days in slavery, somehow better than the dry, dusty desert that God was leading them through. Israel's 40-year journey was marked by failure and defeat. But honestly, would we do any better? Truthfully, we don't. Our track record is not impressive either. When temptation comes, far too often, we choose the wrong instead of the right. We yield to evil instead of pursuing the good. Something within us is bent, broken, corrupted. The Heidelberg Catechism names this reality with painful honesty. Reflecting on the final part of the Lord's Prayer, it teaches, what does the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer teach us? And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one, means by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit so that we may not go down in defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Isn't that beautiful? But that's our sad reality. We're too weak to hold our own even for a moment. We're too weak. Left to ourselves, 9 times out of 10, we fall rather than stand. The question remains, will we yield to temptation or will we submit our lives to God? Scripture warns us plainly, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. It's found in 1 John chapter 2. One of the most common temptations today is the lust of the eyes, especially through our screens. Our phones track our screen time, but even that doesn't capture the hours spent watching TV shows, scrolling tablets, or streaming videos on our laptops. How much of our time is invested in the kingdom of God, and how much is simply consumed by all our entertainment? And we're using our days wisely. If we want to use our days wisely, should we really be scrolling our lives away? In a capitalistic culture, we are reminded constantly of our status that we are consumers, defined by what we watch, what we buy, and what we click. But God gives us a far better identity. We are children of God. In contrast to Israel's confusion and failure, Jesus entered the wilderness knowing exactly who he was and whose he was. His identity was not up for debate. At his baptism, the heavens opened up and the Father declared, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That identity, the beloved Son of God, was the foundation beneath Jesus' feet. Immediately after this moment of affirmation, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Of course he was. Some of the translations say that he was famished or he was very hungry. Could you imagine how hungry he must have been after fasting for 40 days? His stomach was a rumbling and a grumbling. And the devil pounced. The tempter appeared. The tempter said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Seeing if you're listening. Jesus resisted, not with clever arguments, but with scripture. From Deuteronomy 8, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." If the devil were up at the plate, it was a swing and a miss, strike one. But the devil didn't give up easily. No, the devil persisted. He took Jesus to the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem, and he said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." And then the devil quoted scripture, Psalm 91, twisting it, ripping it out of context, and using it like a weapon. Jesus answered again with Holy Scripture, this time from Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." At bat against the Savior, the devil whiffed once again. Strike two. Still, the devil would not quit. He took Jesus up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. "All this I will give you if you bow down and worship me." Outrageous, blasphemous, and Jesus shut it down immediately. "Away from me, Satan. As it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." If the devil played America's pastime, it'd be yet another swing and a miss. Strike three, you're out. "Now get out of here, Satan. Go right back to hell where you belong." Finally, the devil fled. And then, only then, angels came and attended him. We can imagine they brought food, drink, and strength. After 40 days in the desert, it was exactly what Jesus needed. So what is really happening here? Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness were not wasted days. They were days of fasting, days of prayer, days of preparation and spiritual battle. Israel faced temptation in the wilderness and they failed. Jesus faced temptation in the wilderness and he triumphs in victory. Israel fell over and over again, but Jesus, he stood firm. For we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Hebrews 4. One commentator describes this crucial moment as a clash of kingdoms. The kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. The temptation narrative reveals the deeper conflict running through the entire book of Matthew. Jesus wins this battle. And ultimately, Jesus wins the war by placing the kingdom of God first. The question that confronts us is both simple and searching. Will we do the same? To put God's kingdom first, that is our calling. But don't expect to accomplish this by sheer willpower. We cannot. We need God's power. We need God's Spirit. Only the Spirit enables us to stand firm and emerge victorious in our battle against sin. Dale Bruner, in his commentary on Matthew, makes this striking observation. God usually prepares his people for temptation before he calls them into it. Notice Jesus, like a baptized Christian, lives between two spirits. Between the two bodies, Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. That's exactly where we live as believers. We exist between the two bodies, led by the Spirit towards God's righteous path, tempted by the devil to wander right off of it. Every Christian lives in that tension. It's like a tug of war. You're pulling on one rope and the devil's pulling on the other rope. And we feel that tension daily because we're in the world, but not of the world. There's an angel on one shoulder, the tempter's on the other. And Scripture tells us, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Yet the devil probes our weak spots, whispering in our ear, go ahead, try it, just this once. If it feels so good, just do it. Humanity has been drawn towards the forbidden fruit ever since the Garden of Eden. So how do we express our gratitude to God during the time of Lent? How do we live these 40 days in such a way that we demonstrate service not only to God, but also service to others? By opening our spirit to renewal. Lent is a season of daily repentance, a time for God to renew our hearts and reshape our lives. And remember, your 40 days are not alone. Your 40 days are in the company of Jesus. We travel the 40 days of Lent with Jesus. For he said to us, surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. He's with each one of us, each and every day, even when we go through loss, even when we end up at the hospital, even when our lives are interrupted with a real challenge. He's with you in the good times. He's with you in the bad. He's with you in the happy times. He's with you in the sad. God's with you when you're up on that mountaintop just praising him for the natural beauty of creation. And he's with you in the very valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is with you. As you walk through Lent, ask yourself, how is God teaching me through the Word? And what can I learn from the life of Jesus? In Matthew 4, Jesus defeats the devil not once, not twice, but three times, and he was out of there. You, through the Holy Spirit and the Word, can do the same. Use the Scripture to defeat the devil. Recite Scripture at him when he's tempting you to sin. When temptation comes, speak the word of God. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Matthew 16. Or submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4, verse 7. From that passage in James, I love the word resist. Do you like that word, resist? We are people of resistance. We reject the kingdom of the world and we embrace the kingdom of God. Could that take shape during Lent as a fast? Not necessarily a food fast. I'm not telling you to miss breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I want you to take an electronic fast. What if for one day a week, you eliminated screen time? And if that feels much too difficult, way too hard, then try to reduce and replace. Reduce your screen time by 1 hour a day and replace that hour with time in God's Word. On Monday, check your phone's screen time report. If you don't know how, ask your grandkids. They always know. Or ask Siri. She always seems to know too. Then on Tuesday, attempt to reduce your Monday screen time by a full hour. Why would you want to do this? 3 reasons. To reduce the influence of media and increase the influence of Scripture. To declare that we don't rely on our electronic devices. We rely on God. And thirdly, to carve out space to be with Jesus. 1 hour less of screen time could become 1 hour more with the Lord. And 60 minutes with Jesus is time well spent. People belonging to God, may the Spirit of Jesus renew your hearts on this journey through Lent together with Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people together say, Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, at the beginning of our Lenten journey, draw us closer to you. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit. Guide us by your Holy Word. And keep our hearts fixed firmly on the kingdom of God. Help us to resist temptation and to say no to the devil and his evil ways. Help us walk in your ways instead, finding renewal in your holy presence each and every day. We place these 40 days and our whole lives in your hands. In the name of Christ, amen.